Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of Vitron's Logistics Podcast. My name is Robert Weber, and in this episode, I'm speaking with Helmut Prieschink, the CEO of Vitron. We are discussing nothing less than a new Vitron approach, OPN. Let's get started. Mr. Prieschink, what is OPN?
It all started 25 years ago with a comm machine, where Mr. Winkler invented a tool which really was a revolution in the food retail distribution arena. Around the OPM, we developed the OPM, which is the order picking machinery, which is basically the whole system within the distribution center, within the wall. And then the reality is that our customers more and more developed an ecosystem around the distribution center, the machine itself. And that's a logical part, right? In that moment where you have a well-oiled machine, then it really matters what is around the machine. In other words, you're getting orders from the stores, you're getting products from the producers, you're getting energy from the outside. So, and the store as an end customer feels at the end of the day the outcome of the whole ecosystem. And so our customers were more and more focused on not the core machine and not the machine between the four walls, but the whole ecosystem which is around the machine. And that is basically the point where our customers more and more forced us to go further, to think bigger. And bigger means OPN, and OPN is the abbreviation for order picking network. In other words, it's not about the machine only, it's really about how the machine is implemented in the organism of the customer's network. And then we develop the OPM, which is basically the next level, if you want.
So what role does OPN play in this whole ecosystem? Why is OPN necessary for the customers?
Well, OPN is always there. In that moment where a customer, for example, is doing a warehouse project, right? In other words, he is designing and producing, realizing and ramping up a new warehouse. Then we are on the warehouse level. That is basically the point where the existing warehouse is not efficient anymore or is in the wrong place or old technology, and there is a new technology in place then. The question is, do we talk about warehouse project where we're doing a new warehouse? Do we do a supply chain project? That means what I mentioned with ecosystem, where we really integrated a new technology or warehouse in an ecosystem and a supply chain. Or, and this is level two, if you say level one is the warehouse level, level two is really thinking in supply chain. And the next level, and this is what we learned from our customers, it's not enough anymore to think in supply chain because the supply chain is integrated in the whole enterprise. And this is the level three, to really think when you are realizing and launching a new warehouse project. It's not only a warehouse project. It's not only a supply chain project, level two. It's ideally an enterprise initiative. And this is level three. And this is order picking network. When you think really about not only warehouse and not only horizontal supply chain, but you think such a technology horizontal and vertical over the whole enterprise, over the whole network of the customer.
But do you have the resources to handle the whole network at Vitron?
The question is not whether we have the resources. The question is, what is the infrastructure of the customer? Because the customer, you know, is not like a fresh-born baby where everything is new. The reality is there are existing warehouses, whether it's local, whether it's regional, whether it's existing, whether it's new. Customers do run transportation management systems. They do run point of sales, et cetera, et cetera. So the key is here to understand the profile of the infrastructure, of the existing infrastructure, because they are doing a very successful business, right? They are running a business on a razor sharp margin. And the question is, how can we improve and how can we get better? And the question is not whether we have the resources to do everything new, but to really go into this organism and improve and update and upgrade and integrate the bits and pieces to an overall optimum.
So you have three levels. First level, the traditional warehouse, right?
That's correct.
Automation. The second level, supply chain. Third level, network. How far are your customers? Are they stuck in level two, or are they stuck in level one, or is there a difference between customers? What is your opinion on that?
Yeah, I won't say stuck. I would say where they are at the moment and where they are developing in which direction. And you have all kinds of variations here. You have certainly customers, they are focusing on the warehouse because at the end of the day, to be honest with you, it's important to deliver a project in time, in budget, in quality, if you know what I mean. So when we're talking about a complete production facility with dry, with fresh, with freeze and everything, it is important and it's imperative that we are delivering this project as expected. CEOs like this, right? So they really need to deliver success. And that means that it's really important to be successful in level one. The question is, back to your question, a lot of customers are already in the level two to think horizontal from the producer to transport, DC, store, end client, because maybe the store is not the end client. So really a horizontal to make sure that we have an optimum in the supply chain level. And there are customers out there, they really emphasize now the question, we need to do an enterprise project to utilize this technology. And this is the difference compared to 10 years ago. In 10 years ago, this technology was more a machine. Right now, we are talking about, yes, machine. Yes, we have to handle a package or a case or each. But, and this is the big one, we have a hell of a data. We have a hell of information. And we can really utilize all these machine and data and, you know, products and orders and customer data to improve the whole network. And this is the key. It all comes down in earlier days that compared to earlier days that we optimized a certain topic like performance or availability or. At this point in time, we have algorithms, we have the machine power, the CPUs, the data to really understand, can I optimize a network not only end-to-end horizontal, but really vertical over the whole place, right? And that could mean that, for example, you're optimizing a DC, and this is maybe not ideal for the transport, but next day, when you have a flat season, you optimize more the transport or the store or so really to understand where is the sweet point in the network. 10 years ago, impossible because the lack of data. Right now, you can move in that direction.
And are your customers willing to share these data with you? Is this the Vitron offer to handle the data, to work with the data, to use algorithms to predict something, to forecast, to do classifications, to optimize something?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the question is always, what is the benefit and what is the price you pay, right? And in that moment, and this is the key here, when we're talking about OPM for a customer, the customer is running his network. For example, we have customer X and we have the X OPN, right? The idea is the mindset, and this is what we synchronize with our clients already. This OPN, this customer specific network, is a part of our overall worldwide OPN, right? Our platform, our OPN cloud, if you want. And this is the key benefit that we have so many information and data. I'll give you one example. When we're talking about products, a product shape, product weight, product characteristic and quality, a lot of customers are handling comparable products. Let's say a chocolate bar, right? To use one of my favorite things here. Then it would be ideal to say, look, we are improving the handling of this chocolate bar with a D-pal, with a com machine, with a tray merge, yada, yada, yada. And we are handling this chocolate bar thousands and thousands times all over the world. Maybe the same, maybe a little bit different. In that moment where we are synchronizing this information and this know-how between retailers or with a producer, because the producer is also part of the equation, we can ideally optimize the whole flow. Means we're talking about packaging. We talk about coding of this thing. We are talking about sustainability. And all these dimensions come together in that moment where we are utilizing this overall information. When it comes to specific customer things, then we're certainly doing separate. This is the reason why we have a customer OPN, because then it's really specific to one customer, his assortment, his clients, his process, and then we separate it strictly.
Okay. But what, maybe I don't get it. What is the offer? Is it a service approach by Vitron or is it a product? What is it?
It is a mix of tools, for example, interfaces. A concrete example, when we order, and the question is, when do we deliver the order? What would be smart? Would it be smart to deliver the order now? Would it be smart to deliver the order maybe 80% today and 20% next day, because this is maybe the optimum for the transport? And this is maybe the optimum also for the store. Maybe it's acceptable. Then we are talking about a wise balancing of delivery. And you have different players here. The one player is certainly the DC and the shifts, how the DC is running its shifts. The next question is, what does the store need? Because this is the most important, you know, the most powerful thing, because premium store service is line item number one, or premium customer service. So the question is, when I'm balancing deliveries over the net, is it acceptable for the store? Is it a benefit for the transport? Is it maybe before Thanksgiving in a different situation than in a flat season? And this is a concrete example. When we are getting an order, either we executing this order, we're doing exactly what they told us, or we say, look, with all the information what we have, and with all the data, and with all the weather forecast, and with all the weeks we had the last couple of years, we would recommend doing it a little bit different, and then you save dollars. And this is a concrete example of OPN, of really have a network where we are optimizing the flow through the whole infrastructure.
You've been avoiding the word AI since 15 minutes now, but without AI, nothing will work in your concept, or am I wrong?
Well, AI is in principle everywhere. You know, you have AI in the cameras, you have AI in a PLC. I think the question is really, we need to be a little bit more specific when it comes to AI. Of course, we need first and foremost data. Data is the most important thing we got in this whole equation, right? Because this is the intelligence of how a business is working. And then the question is, in which way you're using then either the normal logic when you have algorithms, whether with agents, without agents, or generic, or a lot of buzzwords are flying around. But at the end of the day, it's a combination of data. It's a combination of algorithms. It's a combination of artificial intelligence. There is certainly a border where we have to distinguish what is decided by a tool and what is, you know, as a co-pilot supported by a tool. But at the end of the day, the driver is sitting in the driver's seat. So we need to be a little bit careful here. But at the end of the day, you need all these things as a tool, right?
Let's talk about the technical level. What does the customer need to start the OPN?
First of all, I think we need to understand the infrastructure. What is the actual state of play? Because again, we're never starting from scratch with a customer who is doing a successful customer over the last decades or even longer. So we need to understand the network means the stores, the transport, what is regional, what is national, how you're handling different, if you have temperature zones when you're in the food retail. So the first step is to understand the infrastructure. The next step is to understand where are topics where you have flexibility, because there are certainly topics which is a no-brainer. You don't change anything. And you have topics where you can change. And then I'll give you one example. The feedback we are getting from the market is that the end client is more and more hard to predict. You are as an end client. In earlier days, it was more easier to understand when are you buying your stuff. In the last, 1-2 years, customers are buying in the last minute, or they are buying maybe store or online. Maybe they are buying a lot, or they're buying just a cappuccino, etc., etc. So this predictability is gone. And that means that a network has to react on a more sophisticated requirement. And that means that your engine, your logistics engine behind this must be more agile. On the other hand, you want to be extremely productive, you know, because on the one hand, you have the pressure to fulfill really the requirements of the client. On the other hand, you have to react on China speed, if you want to say, and then be extremely productive. And this is the key to balance out where is the sweet point of this thing.
Why should your customers do this with you and not on their own? Is there the warehouse so crucial for them?
Well, if you think about the enterprise model, what I mentioned before, of course, it all starts with the client, and you need a premium client service better than anybody else. This is the key, no question. But it is more and more clear that your, whether it's a warehouse or you name it supply chain, this is, and this is what we experience in the market. This engine is not only a fulfiller of expectations, it's an enabler of success. The more powerful your engine and your well-oiled machine is, the more powerful you can act on the market, the more powerful you can offer things to your clients. And this is the game changer. This was the paradigm shift to say, okay, let's not only focus on client requirements, but how can we beef up the infrastructure of the whole enterprise, and maybe to include also, as I mentioned before, the producers, because when we're talking about packaging, when we're talking about, for example, inventory, we are solving also a problem of the manufacturer. So get him in the boat. He is part of the equation. One example is for inventory. Everybody's talking about inventory. We are pumping a certain amount of inventory through the whole network, right? You have buffers everywhere. Yeah, you have buffers on the production side. You have buffers in the transport. You have buffers in the DC, local, regional. You have buffers in the store. So inventory is sitting everywhere. Now we're talking about sustainability. We're talking about best before date. We're talking about when you are able to handle less with the same target without, you know, generating stockouts, then we are really talking. So the question is really, how can we increase the speed of the flow of the whole material? We reduce the inventory level, but we are not risking stockouts. Such a question can only be done if you have an overall view of where all this inventory is sitting. So it's not only a silo DC, and back to your question, we need to also understand where are the goods on the transport, stores. 80% of a food retailer, 80% of the employees of a food retailer are working in stores, not in DCs. So there you have a lot of leverage. And if we can improve the work of the people and associates there, if we can improve the material flow in a store there, then we're really talking. So let's say the DC is kind of the platform, but the stars around this platform are the stores. And there we need to be more open, and there we need to be more, you know, transparent. And this is a concrete part of OPN.
Okay. In which market we will see the first OPN?
From a region, you mean?
Yeah.
I think the beauty at this point in time is that we are talking with a customer in Australia, with a customer in Europe, and with a customer in North America exactly about the same thing. They are really pioneers, and they're pushing this. And while we're talking, the number is increasing. And again, this is not only because we are talking about, this is because you have the opportunities out there. You have the technical opportunities to really solve these things. And the good thing is that the customers not only interested in, and this is great from my point of view, not only interested in the technical stuff, you know, what is AI, what is learning, what is a physical AI and humanoid and whatsoever. Yes, this is cool. And we need to talk about all
this
stuff.
Right? So if you have data, you need to analyze this data, right?
That's right. But the problem is very often when you're talking about this technical stuff, people falling, you know, they are becoming prisoner of the moment. All of a sudden, you're talking about all these technical gizmos and you're talking about the investors, and you're talking about the startups and the scale-ups, and you're talking about the energies, and now they are building power plants. And it's exciting, no question, but, and this is the key, sometimes the deeper you drill in this technical thing, the easier you forget why in the world are we doing this, right? And that is the point when you're sitting on the table of a CEO of a food retailer. He will bring you back to ground that this technical stuff is great, but tell me, what is the customer benefit? Why should I do this? And the why is line item number one. The why, these are premium store service. The why is, can I improve the productivity in the network? The why is, can I be more sustainable, et cetera, et cetera. And not the how. The how is a question of intelligent people who really train this and really are great to fly things to the moon. They will solve this problem, right?
Mm-hmm. So are your customers skeptical when it comes to this topic, or do you need to convince them to do that?
I think it comes from both sides.
Okay.
The more we talk about this, the more you develop this idea about you need to think bigger. You need to think really on an enterprise level. And I think it's really important not to, you know, to think in individual directions or dimensions. And when you go back 5-6 years, right, everybody talked about e-commerce, mm-hmm. e-commerce in food retail.
Right.
COVID was one driver, certainly. Yep. Then we talked about AI. We too talked about AI 5 years ago. And the question was, when will the next AI winter come? And we were not sure, right? And then ChatGPT came. And then now we have not a winter. We have a hot summer, maybe. And so things will change. But again, you are always grounded when you're sitting in front of a top shot of a company and you're asking the question, why should I do this? And then the question is really simple. Do I deliver a better service? Can I really be more productive all over the place? And what is the competitive advantage for the company?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Prisheng, it was a pleasure. I keep my fingers crossed for OPM. It sounds like a great, is it a solution, a product, an offer? Maybe it's a new paradigm when it comes to logistics and supply chain in the retail supply chain. Thanks a lot for your time. It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much. You take it easy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.